it's a nice effect. Okay, hello everybody. My name is Dag Wiers. I'm a little bit known inside the Red Hat CentOS community for RPM packages, but let's not discuss RPM now because my previous speaker. I'm now going to talk about Destat. It's one of the tools I've written. I've written some other tools as well, which are, I think, very useful. But on the website of Froscon, you can find some other tools that help system administrators for technical documentation, but also for making snapshots of systems and comparing systems by using these snapshots. And these are also nice tools. But today I'm going to talk about Destat because it's the tool that is probably the most known and is probably the widest available throughout all the distributions. I think it now ships. Yeah? Ah, okay.
You're ahead of time.
That's okay. I thought it started at 11.
No? Quarter past. That's a strange time schedule. So.
Well, I need 2 hours anyway, so. So, but Destat is in all the distributions, maybe not in the base, but for Debian and other distributions, doesn't matter. You can simply install it by apt-get install or yum install or something similar. To prepare for this presentation, I also wrote a paper, and the paper is really nice to go through. It contains most of this information. It's nice to go back. It explains everything, and sometimes in more detail. It depends how much time I have. And it's also nice to send to someone to say, hey, look at this tool, and here you find some information. This information is not available yet with Destat. I'm preparing a new release, so you see some new stuff that hasn't been shown yet. But I will make the paper available in 2 weeks or something, and it will be available on the website already. So you can already download it from the Froscon website. Okay, so let's start. Well, the objectives of this presentation, let's make that clear so that everybody is on the same page. I'm not sure. This is my first presentation. Well, it's not a big crowd, so. But I don't have experience talking for a lot of people, and spare me. So that's my objective for this presentation, is trying to get over the fear. But the real objective, of course, is to demonstrate something that is really, really simple. If you look at Destat, the tool is really, really simple. The only problem is that it expects some knowledge before you can use it. Actually, if you read the mount page, you probably can use it as well. But a lot of people try it out, think it's VMstat, and then see that a lot of things are not possible, or they don't know how to use it, and then they leave. And they don't use it anymore. And I noticed this, and that's why I thought I had to promote it more and specify how people should use it. And one of the things for this presentation as well, and I hope I can give this presentation to more people as well, is to get feedback from people. Because I consider this tool, as it is right now, as a prototype. And this is the third prototype. I learned a lot by creating these prototypes, but I don't think this is a finished product, although it is usable. But I would like to have feedback because the basics of Destat can be used for other tools as well. And it would be nice to be able to integrate it with other stuff. But I come back to that later. So if you have feedback, if something doesn't work or you want to know, is this possible, or are you thinking about it, give it to me. Because the more I know, or the more I can implement, or the more I have in advance a vision of what is possible with it, the better I can design it the fourth time. So. Well, of course, there are a lot of tools available right now, and some of these tools allow you to see graphs of your system resources, like CPU, the evolution of your CPU usage, the evolution of your I/O usage, the evolution of lots of things in graphs. And that's nice. It helps you to go backtrack and to go back in time to see what happened sometime. But it's difficult to correlate counters, to correlate what's happening, or you have to get the exact graphs together. And it's also not very useful to do real-time monitoring. If you look at these graphs, like MRTG or Nagios, they're not real-time. And if they are real-time, then it's probably slowing down your system or can slow down your system. But usually there's a delay of some time because otherwise it's generating graphs all the time. Some other tools exist that are command line, and most of these, well, for me, they feel a little bit arcane. They're a little bit It seems as if they have not evolved over time. They are 30 years old or something. Like VMStat or EFStat, they, I don't know, it shows you what it wants you to show, and for that it's okay, but there are some problems with it. Like columns that are flowing around if the counters get too big. And none of these tools actually allow you to write your own counters. That's really what I envisioned when writing DStat. All these tools have something that they provide you, some counters, but if you want to relate those counters, it's very hard to do because you have to start multiple tools. And if you start multiple tools, you're not seeing the counters in the same time frame. So DStat allows you to do that. Actually, before I can start, well, I made something. Why did I wrote DStat? I was at a customer project, and the customer had a GPFS node of five nodes, a GPFS cluster of five nodes, and these five nodes were balanced. They had a GPFS file system, which is a parallel file system that stripes over many disks or many sun systems to optimize the bandwidth, the I/O bandwidth. And for this, I had five systems I had to monitor. These systems were being used by Windows client to edit video real time on the sun. But these were also used for playing directly for broadcast. It was for a broadcasting company. It was also playing out directly from sun as well. So the performance was very important because one should not affect the other. And to optimize for performance, I had to make sure that for the five nodes, the load, the resources, everything was balanced. And it's very hard to get all these counters together to see if everything is balanced the way you expect it to be, and to see if everything is really like you expect it to be. And that's why I started DStat, because I couldn't get all these counters from all different places. This is a little bit what I said. Things I needed for this project was I needed to see how many Samba connections were being made, because that was very important. If I was doing performance tests, and I did a performance test of a half an hour or 1 hour to see what the characteristics of a system were after 1 hour of usage, then it was very important that during my test, during the setup of my clients that connect to this cluster, that during the test there was nothing going wrong with my clients or nothing going wrong with Samba, because otherwise my results would not be valid. And so it was very important for me to during my test to follow the progress of everything, so that I had a good idea of if my results were valid or not. Because if I'm going to process it afterwards to then see what the results are in graphs or in numbers, then the problem is that I see, oh, it's not valid, I lost 1 hour of work. And often the invalid results were already available after 5 minutes of testing because something broke. And if I have to wait 1 hour for testing and then start look at the results to correlate counters, and then I see, damn, the first 5 minutes was already wrong, then I lost 55 minutes. And so it was very important. The things I needed to do was the Samba connections, see if all my clients were still connected and were still doing what they were doing. I needed to see what GPFS was using as bandwidth. I needed to see what the HBAs, the fiber channel controllers, were doing to the SUM, to see if there was any overhead that I was not expecting. I needed to see what the SUM was doing. And I had to query the I/O counters from the sun as well. I needed to see if the number of interrupts were the same as the I/O I was expecting, because to optimize this system, the block size is very important, and the block size at all layers should be multiples of each other. And you can see that with the number of interrupts, you can easily see if the block sizes are okay for all the I/O operations. That's a little bit. And there was also multipathing. So I need to also to see if the HBAs were properly load balanced over all the paths going to the different sun systems, because we had four different sun systems at the back end. So it's a lot of information that you want to see in real time. Now, writing this tool, of course, made it a more generic tool as well, something that is like VMStat, can be used even if you don't need all these requirements that I had. So How can I monitor multiple nodes simultaneously? If I have 5 nodes and I have to start a VM stat for all 5 of them, if I have to start an EF stat to see my network load, if I have to start an IO stat for all of these systems, I end up with, I don't know how many windows, just to see correlation. And lots of these counters also, I'm not interested in. IO stat gives you lots of counters, and I'm only interested in one counter somewhere. VM stat gives you lots of information by default, but I'm only interested in the CPU and maybe the IO. So, and maybe the I.O. was a total, so maybe I just wanted to see the I.O. for this disk and this disk. In our case, we had 116 disks. Well, actually, it's not disks. These are LUNs from the sun that were available, and it was striping all over all these disks. If I see a total, I don't know anything, because these disks were internally also, how do you say that? These were different disks, some for metadata, some for data. In GPFS, you can split that because the block sizes are different. So the metadata disks, I wanted to see separately. So the disks that belong to my metadata group, I should see what they're doing, and I needed to see what the normal disks were doing. And we had 2 file systems, so GPFS was spread over 2 collections of disks for the file system itself. I needed to see exactly for those collections of disks what the throughput was. And it's impossible to do that with normal tools. That I already said. Just I needed to be able to select only the counters that I was interested in. And also, it depended on what I wanted to do, which counters I took. So I selected the counters based on something I wanted to prove. And that's very important. If you want to prove something, you want to get all the information as quickly as possible from all different sources to see if what your hypothesis is correct. And it helps you correlate counters and even see usage patterns. If you see something going up on one node and then something going down on another node, you can see how it influences, because GPFS, it's really a complete balanced system, but some of the nodes have a special duty inside of the cluster. And so you have to see what happens. Also, if you disable one of the systems, you just cut the power, you want to see how the other nodes behave. And all these things, yeah, it's really important that you do not have to do that after the fact. It's also important if you compare, for instance, VMstat. With VMstat, if you want to have averages, and usually you want to have averages, otherwise you have too much information. If you want to have averages for 30 seconds, for instance, then you don't see any progress unless after the 30 seconds. And that was something that was also very disturbing, because you want to actually see if the progress every second is okay. And with VMstat, you only know after 30 seconds, and then you have an average, and you don't really know how it evolved during the 30 seconds. So also, DSTAT gives also a solution for that. And of course, I need an excuse at that at that project to also write a little bit of Perl. I wanted to learn Python, and so that was the perfect opportunity. This is something weird, but the design goals thus were to be extendable, to select the counters you wanted to need, also to help with readability. Because if you get all these counters and all this information, it's very easy to misinterpret something. You see 10,000 and you think it's 10,000 kilobytes, while it's 10,000 megabytes, or 10 megabytes. It's very important to understand what you are interpreting. And with VMstat, it's also difficult to understand the block I/O. Is it in block size? Is it blocks 512 bytes, or is it a kilobyte? And things like that, DSTAT solves by saying what unit something is in. And also, of course, I want to export the data, because the things you see on screen is very nice during the tests, but of course you also need the results after the fact, and these results need to be probably in a little bit more of detail. So you want to see comma values, you want to see more information, and DSTAT allowed for that as well. So the features of DSTAT, or what I had in mind, was I didn't want to build something like top or htop, because that are snapshots. I want to be able to go back in time. And the easiest thing to do that is use the terminal buffer to scroll back to see all the values, just like VMstat did. Indication of the units, a fixed width column was very important. That was actually the reason why I started putting a unit, because if I add the unit, I know exactly that my columns are, for instance, four characters or five characters width. So, all right, it's really important that the columns stay the same so that you can really interpret the values. And VMStat had a problem like that. IOStat has a problem like that. IFStat had a problem like that because it doesn't show you the unit and values can become big and small and it gets out of control. Something that helps also in the interpretation of the number is I edit colors so that I can see if something changes. The colors help also to see what unit something is in, but it also helps to see changes and to see patterns. And if you use it a lot, and I actually run it on all my systems all the time in screens, then you can see patterns and you know if something is behaving well or is not behaving well. And it's very hard to explain how you can see patterns because it's your mind does that. I don't know if people that know Matrix probably think of the Matrix where they also look at I don't know what and then they see stuff. Well, it's a little bit like that. It's not going that far, but it's really nice. And then I also mentioned that I called it intermediate updates. While it is making your average, if you say I want an average for 30 seconds, while it's creating that average, DStat allows you to see how it behaves in between. And I chose to do it like this. The first second, while you're waiting for your 30-second average, the first seconds you get a 1-second average, which is just the values for that second. But the second second, you get the average for the last 2 seconds. The third second, you get the average for the last 3 seconds, up to the 30 seconds. And so after 30 seconds, the line moves on, and you see the first second again, the average of 2 seconds again, the average of 3 seconds again. And that helps you to see where it is getting at, where it is going to, what the result is going to be. But you also see if things are fluctuating, especially at the beginning of the averages. But it helps. And the most important feature of DStat is that you can write your own plugins. And that's really something that I had in mind because I'm a system administrator and I want to get all this information and it needs to be easy to write plugins. And that's why I chose Python as well. Selecting the plugins, I also mentioned that, and you can export to CSV. Well, one of the features that VMStat doesn't have, and all the other tools that don't have, I think IOStat does have it, it's include a time plugin. So if you see a line, you can enable the time plugin and you see at what time and what date this line was from. That's also nice if you write it out to CSV, you get the exact time and date. If you use then DStat on multiple systems, you can compare the results on multiple systems, even automatically inside of Excel or something, just by using the timestamps. Because otherwise you have to start the program at the exact same instance to be able to correlate, and also that is not really useful. So even though it's something stupid and something silly, the time plugin is really, really a major advancement. I also use the terminal capabilities to see if I have colors, but also to automatically show the plugins that are able to be visible in the terminal. But I will demonstrate it right now. And then it comes with a lot of plugins that I already wrote, that some people already wrote. And one of the objectives was that I hope some people that start to use it also create plugins and maybe we can incorporate it. Maybe I can go over the plugins. Maybe let me first show you, because for some people this is becoming too abstract or they don't know what to expect. Wait, this is going the wrong way. Okay, so this is actually DStat. This is on a remote system because this system is really in use and I hope to see interesting results. On my laptop it would probably not be so interesting. In this case I started with the option T, which means enable the time plugin, and then I have the option A, which is actually the short for all, which is obviously not all the plugins, but at least the most interesting plugins. At the beginning it meant all plugins, because I had a limited set of plugins, but now it means some of the plugins. Actually, most of the interesting plugins, most of the system counters. So if I enable this, you can already see what counters I have. In this case, I have the date and the time plugin. I have CPU counters. And on newer kernels, you can see the hardware interrupts and the software interrupts, which are really helpful if you have hardware problems or you have hardware that is not performing well. For instance, if you have gigabit interfaces that you're really using, then you can see here, if you have not enabled, the fact that it can, how is it called? Normally every interrupt is getting handled by the kernel, but because with gigabit interfaces you can get so many interrupts, the kernel cannot properly function anymore and becomes very slow. And with hardware or software interrupts, you can find those cases and you know that your hardware is slowing down your kernel. So the hardware interrupt and especially the software interrupt are things that for the gigabit interface, you can see if it is trying to get multiple interrupts at once. So it buffers the interrupts, and then it says to the kernel there are lots of things waiting and handle it at once so that the kernel doesn't have to be interrupted every time. This is the total disk usage. And you can see here the units. If it's zero, I don't show anything, so that helps as well, because then you can see if something is done or not. This is the network total. Here is the paging space and the system, interrupts and context switches. These are also useful to see how the system is behaving. These interrupts, of course, well, should, but this is in percentages, and I do not indicate it because otherwise I waste more space. But so the interrupts here should normally correlate with the hardware interrupts, but you cannot see that because if it's zero. okay. So this is dstat. You can also see that the header is repeating itself. As soon as it goes out of the terminal, that's one of the capabilities that I use from the terminal. I see how many lines I have, and then I rotate the header. And that's really useful, because otherwise, without a header, you have no idea what the counters really were if you're ongoing testing. Now, one of the terminal capabilities that is there as well is if you make this smaller, it will automatically make the plugins that are visible are all also cut. Otherwise, yeah, you have a problem with VMstat, that's also a problem. And this way you can specify what, if you have a small terminal, you see at least something. If you start dstat with a small terminal, it also will indicate, and actually you see here, I don't know if it's really visible, but here is a sign that tells you that it's not really finished. There are normally results here as well. Of course, if you enable, if you cut off some of the plugins, the CSV is not impacted. Otherwise, it would be very stupid. But so the CSV, if you write out a CSV, it's still writing it out completely, of course. Ah, okay, sorry. That's a good question. That's a good question. I never considered that would be something that is stranger. The colors don't mean anything. The colors just indicate a change. And that's a good question, because I had someone, well, I see that my idle time is green, but my user is red. And he was panicking, and I said, yeah, sorry, it's a bad choice for me. I shouldn't have taken red for it. I just have red, yellow, and green as the most important colors, and also here. Actually, here it means a change over the 33, actually 34. So 34 means, below 34 is red, over 34 and lower than 67 is yellow, and over 66 is green. Well, this is actually, you don't see it go over anything, but so they don't mean anything. Rest assured. Okay, let's go back to the presentation. So, what plugins are available? And maybe I can show them one by one. First of all, these plugins contain multiple counters. And you want to be able to select maybe counters as well. Then you have to modify the plugin. But the plugins are so easy that it's so easy to modify them. To specify what you want to see. So just copy the plugin, modify what counters it needs to see, and then you can select those counters as well. So what plugins do we have? The simple ones: CPU, disk, network, memory, interrupt, system, load, swap, paging, TCP, UDP, raw Unix sockets and raw sockets, and TCP and UDP sockets. And these were also interesting to see if on the systems I had the correct number of TCP sockets open. You can see the number of locks, different kinds of locks, IPC, and you can get information from processes. This is also nice. I'm going to show you that as well. Then there are some plugins. These plugins are actually internal to DStat. These are not external plugins. But the difference between an internal and an external plugin is not that difficult. The internal plugins are just inside of the... It's just the same. It's a plugin that's inside of my program. If you copy and paste it out of it and you call it your own name, then you can use it as an external plugin. The thing is, I wanted to have a tool that I could copy to another system without having to copy plugins or directory plugins and still be able to use it. And so all these plugins are actually using this, the /proc file system to get its counters, so it doesn't have any other dependencies. And that's actually nice because then it's really self-contained. You just put this file, the DStat, on another system and you can already monitor most of the important system resources. Then Dbus was a simple plugin I wrote to see how Dbus was functioning. So it shows the number of Dbus events that are being generated. The GPFS, I have two GPFS plugins, one showing the I/O and one showing the operations. Free space, which shows you all the disks and indicates how much free space there is. InnoDB and MySQL plugins. Actually, these two that I wrote only 2 weeks ago, these five, I wrote in 10 minutes, and that shows the strength. Of course, I'm the developer, so that's not fair, but I just copied one of my existing plugins, the GPFS plugin, and there was a reason why I do that, but I'll come back to that later. And actually, all five of them are equal. They are completely the same. I do the same stuff. I only give another command, and I get other results, and I parse the results. But actually, if you look at them, they're completely the same. And that's why in 10 minutes, five plugins. I wrote one plugin. I copied the GPFS plugin, modified it to use MySQL client, interface with the MySQL client, and then I parse the results. I give commands, and then I get performance counters back, and then I parse them and show them. Put them actually in values, and DStat for me will show them. NFS plugins, PostFix, SendMail is missing, but SendMail plugin as well, RPC, UTMP. Most of these plugins are just basic plugins I wrote to get some counters, but I'm sure that if you are a PostFix expert, you know there are much more counters than I have in this plugin. You can write your own PostFix plugins and just send them to me, but I just don't know much about PostFix. I just list the number of items in the queues, in the different queues. But tell me if you have nice IDs. The VMware plugin is actually sent by me, by a VMware specialist, which was nice. And it shows you information about the VMs itself. And I also wrote my own OpenVZ because I use OpenVZ somewhere. And then you can see exactly, because OpenVZ is a little bit different in the sense that you don't have a kernel for each virtual machine. And so it's really, really nice to see what your one kernel decides to do with CPU usage and with I/O information. So the OpenVZs are really nice because then you have, from the main system, you can see exactly what your different VMs are doing. Or if you allocate something more, you can see what the impact is within DStat. So that's really nice as well. And then I have some ACPI information that I put in there. And these ones are actually nice as well. And I will demonstrate them. Maybe I give some demonstrations now. So, let's see. The normal stuff, CPU, disk, everybody knows what that means. The interrupts, which is nice as well. Let me show you what the interrupts plugin does. If you have a system, minus E shows you, well, let's put the T there as well. Minus E shows you the interrupts. And in this case, it makes a selection of interrupts with the most number of interrupts since time, since the system booted. But of course, there are more interrupts. And I didn't want to put all interrupts there because if you go on one of the nodes from my cluster that I talked about earlier, I think they had 10 different gigabit interfaces and they were bonded. So I had actually five, but there were 10 gigabit interfaces in the system, four HBAs. You can imagine everyone has a different interrupt. If I would show all the interrupts by default, then it would not be longer useful. But if you add minus F, then you can see all the interrupts. And in this case, there aren't many. There are more, but those I disable because they don't produce any output. So you can see here, the timer interrupt I disable anyway. these interrupts didn't produce any because the number is too low, and only these three are on the system. So this is a bad example. Let me go to another system that's hopefully better. Oh. Yeah, my wireless connection. Okay, so this one shows you all the interrupts on that system, and you see the difference. And that's the most important thing. You see how much interrupts are being made per second. And that's nice, because here you can go into a deeper level of which device is generating these interrupts. And that's important, because on a system, your kernel is slow, something is happening, you don't know what. Here you can see what device is causing something. Maybe it's not a device, there's no device that's causing it, but at least you know. So, and of course you can make averages, and you can then see what the averages are for 5 seconds, for instance. If you want to know what device is what interrupt, because at the beginning when I wrote the plugin, I showed the device name, but I have not that much space. And the problem is sometimes one interrupts or multiple devices. So that's also a problem. And as I showed you here, if you do cut proc interrupts, then you can see the interrupts and you can see which interrupt is actually what. And you see here that USB is together with libATA is 177. So this way you can correlate what devices are causing what. And I have never seen a tool that gave me this. In the past, what I did to get to know what systems were generating interrupts, but I didn't have a real idea of how many, was, I don't know if people know this this command. And the nice thing is the differences. It indicates where differences are being made. And so you have an idea that this is in the thousands and this is only in the tens. So this was how I did it before, but this is really, if you have to do this for five different systems, and you also have to have other counters, it's impossible. So let's go to one of the others, the interrupts I talked about. Yeah, load, you have an idea what that means, swap, paging. The process plugin, that one is nice as well. That's just minus P. And the nice thing about this is, well, you have the running processes, you have the processes that are blocked, in this case nothing, and you have the new processes. This means how many processes are being created within the time frame. So in this case, there are none, which is good. My system is not creating any processes. But now if I, let's start a screen, do the same. Actually, why not put the CPU in there, maybe the load, and maybe some system information. So now I get the load as well. And let's generate some, do something. I don't know if this will show me something in the other. Voila. So I did something, but apparently something else happened as well. 19 new processes were started here. That's interesting to see just that number. Well. So that's the process plugin. Dbus GPFS. For GPFS, you need a GPFS setup. For MySQL, you need a MySQL setup. There is something that I should mention here. The MySQL plugin, actually, it expects you to be able to connect to your database or to your tables without a password. So you have to do it, yeah. Yeah, that's good. But the problem is then you get this. I should not have done this. Oh, yeah. And then you get this. Open Office is not that smart, because if I go back, it should not go. Anyway, so what was I saying? Yes, for this it expects you to not give a password. But if you look at the plugin, it's very easy. If you set an environment variable, then you can specify your username and password. Can you show the source code? I'm going to do that after. Yeah. No, I cannot get that information, but it's a nice idea. I've been thinking about it as well, but the kernel does not give me that information. Yeah, but it's true, but it gives me a counter of how many processes has been started, and it always goes up.
I'm collecting directly from the kernel. You don't get the whole process list.
No, I can explain you. If I would do that, then I could. But if I would do that, there are a few problems. First, processes can come up and die without me even knowing, because if I do a process list and do a process list again, then I wouldn't know. But it's also very, very expensive to go over all the processes. And that's one of the plugins I will show you later, how to debug and optimize your plugins. Some of the plugins have a higher, a higher expense or a higher cost than other plugins. And that's something I will show you afterwards as well. So what is missing? I really would like to have Xen plugins, but at this moment I've not set up Xen myself. I'm using them at customers, and I probably should look at those, but you know, I have so many things to do. So if people are using Xen and would like to go into Destat, go ahead. It's very easy, and just let me know what you found out. SystemTop template plugin. This is something that I think would be very interesting in the future. If SystemTop, I don't know if people know SystemTop. SystemTop allows you to go into the kernel and ask for counters or information about how many times is this function in the kernel being run, how much times did you process a block for my disk. You can get all this information, a lot of counters from the kernel, but it's not available right now. You cannot just get that. You have to add something to the kernel, or you have to say there is the counter located, and then you can get that information. But there's so much information from the kernel that is probably not interesting, that it makes no sense to put everything in a plugin. So I would like to have a template plugin where you can say these and these and these counters I would like to have, and then it will automatically put them in counters for you. And this is actually something that is really interesting for kernel developers as well. Because with SystemTop you can get those counters, but it does not show it to you in a way that it's easy to correlate with other counters, but also to interpret. And as an SNMP template plugin is something similar. Imagine that you're doing something over the network, but you want to see what the effect is on the router. Then you could, with this plugin, say what SNMP object IDs you want to see, and then it automatically gets that information and show it to you. But of course, it needs to be customized, because it depends on your hardware and also on what you want to see. So that's why a template would be nice. A Samba plugin. I wrote something that forks SMB status, but that's quite expensive to fork a process. I could not interface directly with a client like I do with MySQL and GPFS. So that's something I would like to get from Samba. I asked a few times to the Samba developers, but I think I get lost in I think my noise get lost in the signal. I would like to get the X resources as well, so I can see what is the at this moment the most consuming X process, or both in memory and maybe in CPU wise. If something is doing something with X, then it would be nice to know exactly what process is intervening with X. Slop counters. I see so many memory counters, and I cannot make any use of it. I don't know exactly what it means. I have, for some of the counters, I have an ID, but that means that I have so many counters that I have to show that it becomes useless again. So there must be someone, and next weekend I'm going to present Destat at linuxconf.eu, and I hope there will be a few kernel developers. And I hope to find someone who can explain me or tell me, if you show this, this, and this, you know there is an indication that there's something wrong. And that would be nice. Especially you could make report plugins that automatically get counters from somewhere, correlates it, and then says it's fine or it's not fine, and not say anything more. And that would be nice as well, because then you can have the diagnosis by Destat as well. So things that I've been thinking about that would be interesting. So if you have some later on, then give them to me. So this is normally the way you work. You see something, you experience a problem, you have to think about yourself, what can be causing this? If you know if you think something is causing it, think about what counters do I need for that. And maybe you have to write your plugin to get those counters, but enable those counters and see if you're correct. So Destat enables you, it's very, very easy, very simple, very fast to see if your hypothesis was correct and if it wasn't correct, and you have to do it all over again. And it can also help you understand the behavior of a system, because if you say, okay, we install a system, we let it do this, and then you say, okay, this is my baseline. I expect it's configured, it's optimized like this. What is my behavior if this is my baseline? And you just look at the counters and you look what is happening. And then after a day, you say, okay, now I know a little bit how much I/O I get in general, how much CPU usage I get in general. The next day, let's change this performance enhancement configuration option. And then you do the same. You run it again, let it go, and you see if it behaves differently, and then you just compare them, or you know how it behaved before, and then you... That's really, really something. You feel it because it's going on at the moment. That's something I like. So, if you have so many plugins, how can I select a plugin? And I showed you already how you could select a plugin, but not all plugins behave that way. You have the internal plugins and the external plugins. The internal plugins always have a short option. Some have a short option, some don't, because I have so many internal plugins as well that have the same, the time plugin, the TCP plugin, they all start with T. So the TCP plugin, because it's less often used, it's a long option. But the man page tells you which is which. And the external plugins are all enabled by the minus M. And the minus M, and then you specify the plugin name. Not the complete name of the plugin, because every plugin starts with dstat underscore, but the name that comes behind the dstat underscore. And so if I give you this example, you can see what it really means. All four of these are exactly the same. So you have the for the internal ones, you have the short options, which actually means this, which is the same as this, because the internal plugins can also be referenced by their name, which is also the same as this. So you can do it the way you want. And then, of course, you can order your plugins, because sometimes you want to correlate this counter and this counter, but also this counter and this counter. And if they are, like in VMstat, something is there, it's very hard to... So with this stat, you can say this counter and this counter I want to put together, but I want to also see this and this and this, and that you have to be able to do. And so how do we influence that? Well, the order of the options actually define how this stat will show them. So... And something weird that is then also possible, and I'm going to show you that, you can do this as well. And you get four times the CPU. And sometimes you can see differences, and that's something maybe to show as well. In this case, it's not so like that. But sometimes, it's the same. Sometimes you can see differences because the kernel at intervals writes out the new counters. And because this one is run... 2 milliseconds, and then this one is run 2 milliseconds, this one is run 2 milliseconds, then if you have the I don't know, you see a difference? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it doesn't matter. There are differences. But the thing is, you have to understand that this is normal behavior because the kernel changes it while I was just doing processing my plugins. And that... It makes no sense. This is completely useless. But I want to show you why something behaves like that. But this is possible even though it doesn't make sense. So I agree with you. I agree with you. And this would actually mean the same as what's below, four times the CPU. Then, this is something important as well. I talked to you about disks. I would like to see several disks at once. Or with the minus F, you can see all the disks. And I showed you that with the interrupts. It showed me 3 interrupts, but if I specified the minus F, it showed me all the interrupts, or at least the interrupts that I thought were valuable. But the same is true for the plugin. If I just do this, you get the total, and only the total. But if you do minus F, you see them all. You see them all, and they're not doing anything. This is my build system where I make packages, and I'm not making packages right now. Well, let's do it on another one. This one is useful as well. This is a web server and a mail server, so it should be doing something, but these disks are backup disks, so this one is only used. If you now want to see also the total, that's also possible, or you only want to see the HDA, you can do something like this, HDH, HDC, and you see only those two. If you say yes, but the total would be nice as well, okay, then just add total. And then you can see the total and each individually. So you have the all the possibilities you want. And the same is true for CPU. Well, I have to go to... If I do this, I see the total. And if I do CF, I see both of them. This is not the right system. should be this. This one was already showing it. CF shows me the boat. And if I want to specify one, then I do capital N 01. And why is this useful in this case? You can still see the total, which is the total performance of your system, but you can still see if it's being balanced, if your system is completely balanced in CPU usage. Especially if you have lots of things running, it should balance it out. Especially also the hardware and the software interrupts. Okay, I have to confess to you, I am limited in things I can do inside with options. And that's a problem. And it's something that in a new prototype I have to look at. Maybe I need to make a config file where you can say this and this and this together. But because I expected your... Well, because I used it that way, let's look at dstat itself. Because it's an internal plugin, I'm going to look at the dstat plugin. I don't know if this is visible. The blue stuff shouldn't matter. Is this visible for everybody? I can make it bigger. I can make it huge. So, in this case, wait, because I have to see where... Because for the project, I think it's low res. The thing is, what I did was I modified the plugin to be able to put the counters together for a group of disks. But because I cannot specify it on the option on the command line, you have to modify the source code. So, but I cannot find. No, but I'm wondering where I put it really. Maybe I removed the lines. And that would be a shame because it's a nice example of how you can do it. Let me look in Subversion and go back to when I was using it that way, and I can show it later. Is that okay? So, was there something else I need to show? Let's go to the presentation again. So the capital options are the ones to select individual counters, and you can use total to see the total. Wasn't that hard, was it? So, and there's also options to influence the output. I know that some people don't want the colors because they're distracting to them. No color, no headers. You don't want a repetitive header. No header, no updates, no updates. And if you don't want anything, you can always pipe to cut, which then for dstat is writing to a file, which means no colors, no header, no update. Here are some usage cases, and they are much better explained in the paper. Usually when I come on a new system, I run dstat minus TAF, and then I see, okay, how many disks are there, what are they doing, which are mostly stressed. If I have to do performance analysis, I usually start with running this, and then I can see, okay, this disk is used more. Maybe we can see if we can change something there. Maybe we can... Is no add time set on for that disk or for the file systems on that disk and stuff like that. So this gives you a general overview of the system. But then you can enable some of the plugins. And actually, I didn't talk about the top CPU and top MEM plugin. And I also wrote last weekend a top I.O. and a top block I.O. plugin. And these plugins show you the biggest consumer for either CPU, memory, I.O. or block I.O. The difference between I.O. and block I.O. is... and actually the counters represent that as well in the kernel, and that was one of the reasons why the kernel developers had a problem adding I.O. counters per process. The reason why they had problems, and there were lots of discussions about it, is if you count I.O. per process, you do not know exactly how much I.O. is going to a block device, because some things come from the page cache, from the virtual file system, and it's not can come from memory, not from disk. So I.O. is something that is really not useful. You can get lots of I.O., but the device is not being used. And that's why they made a distinction afterwards to also count the block I.O. But you cannot see it for each block device, so you see only a total. And the plugins, the top I.O. and the top BIO plugin of the block I.O. plugin, I cannot demonstrate because I need a newer kernel. And you need a 2.6.20 kernel, and I programmed it in a virtual machine with Fedora Core 6. But I'm using CentOS, and the latest CentOS doesn't have a new kernel. So I cannot show it, but believe me, it works. But the top CPU and top MEM, and actually this is something that is explained here as well. I had that case two times that they were saying, yeah, we see on our graphs that were made by Unicenter, which is a product of Computer Associates. We see in the graphs that something is happening that we think it's paging a lot. It's a lot paging a lot at 4 o'clock at midnight, after midnight. And yeah, how do you find that? It's cron probably, but what from cron is causing my system to page? The system had 4 or 8 gigabytes of memory, and in another case it was something else. It was CPU usage that grow lots of time. Well, if you just run this, d*-tcy, this gives you some information about the system and the CPU. And for instance, say top CPU, show it every 2 minutes so that you at least can differentiate. Then you can see this. Let's do it on a system that's being used. TCY top CPU. Well, the thing is, of course, right. This one is not up to date. Let's do it on my home system, which should be up to date. So if I run the latest version, so I'm sure that I have the plugins available, and add those, then you can see, well, of course, my system is not doing anything at the moment, but if I would do this, my X is using, so X is the mostly used, you see that HAL sometimes pops up. I don't know why, but while making this presentation, I was also running this command, and while I wasn't using OpenOffice or Impress, it was some of the times, sometimes even after every 5 seconds, it was doing something. But now it's not doing anything. Now you would say, you say it's not doing anything, but it's using CPU. How can you explain that? It could be kernel, and then it would be this. So the system is probably not shown, or it is shown because it's also caused by a process, of course. But it could be because of this, but dstat is not shown. If you run one dstat, it filters out its own process ID. Because you want to see all those processes that consumes less than dstat. So dstat goes out. But, of course, if you run two dstats, they don't know about each other. So you see exactly how much a dstat is using. And, of course, it depends also on how much the system is stressed. Because some of the plugins are slower or take more time if the system is under stress. And so you see here that on my CPU, which is only half the speed, it's taking 2% of my CPU time. This is actually how much percent of the CPU is being used. Yeah, I should have installed it on one of the busy systems so that I could have shown you that how it behaves. You can see what the biggest process is, but also what the total of CPU usage is, and then you can see how much is used by other processes. Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you, but your time's up. So now we have either 15 minutes for more presentation.
Let me go in 5 minutes over all my slides, then you have an idea of what was coming. And the paper already includes also everything and also explains everything a little bit in more detail then. So these are examples. I made some more examples I already explained this actually, so up. Yes, I gained some time. The software rate, this is something that I saw on, I was actually looking a year or 1.5 years ago, who's using dstat already and what's the best way than using Google? So at Google I typed in dstat and was looking for people that were using it to see how they were using it, because I didn't know what people were using it for. And one of the kernel developers, it was the software rate kernel developers, was actually using dstat to show that there was some misbehavior between the software rate devices. And that was actually quite cool, because then a kernel developer is using my tool, which is just in my mind, of course. Introducing the Hello World plugin. So somebody asked to see some examples. Yes. Thank you for the question. I wrote one, which is called the Hello World plugin. Let me go to my paper to show the source code, because I didn't want it to. So this is the paper that you will see. And I hope the source code is visible. Otherwise, I will zoom. The Hello plugin is really, really simple. if we have time for it, it's this. So, I make an instance of my dstat class. I then have an init function, a method, and an extract method. And in this case, I do not have anything else because it's a simple plugin. This is the name you see at the top. This is actually the name you see in the second line from the header. I have only one value that I show, so there is no. This is a list, but it's not showing anything else. This is the internal name for the variable, and it's a one-to-one mapping. So if I have a second one, it maps. If I have a third one, it maps. This is to say that my plugin does not have multiple instances. Like if you have multiple disks, this could say that every counter has two options, the read and the write, the input and output. This would then indicate two. For CPU, this indicates six because I had six values. And then I can have multiple plugins with the same counters. But this is just one, so this is the default. This will automatically set up all my variables, and this is a method actually of my mother class. And so this set everything up. The format is a string. It's 12 characters long, and this is really not very useful if I'm showing text, because normally this will say at what values the color changes. If you say this 100, then every 100 it changes the color. But this is not really useful here, and I'm not using it because I'm just putting my text in my value. This is an associative array that contains actually all my variables, but in this case I only fill in text and I put hello world. So this is the most basic plugin, it doesn't do anything. But then if you go to the postfix plugin, and this will be more interesting. Okay, it's an integer, 4 characters long, every 100 I show in different color. And here you can see these are the names of the variables, and this is what is being shown. Since I have only 4 characters, it will automatically cut it. But I prefer to specify the real names, because otherwise this would be Baun, and this would be Defi, and this would be Acti. So I prefer to make my own nickname. These map one-to-one, and this is only one. And then I have a check, because this one needs to check if my queues exist. And maybe I need to check if postfix really is installed in another way that is not expensive. But this is just check if the directory exists. If it doesn't exist, well, postfix may not be installed. Maybe it's in another directory, so maybe we have to change this because it could be in another directory. Maybe this should be a variable. And if the check works, it's okay. Then it will extract the information. And how do I extract the information? Really, really simple. I go over my items in my variables, which are actually the name of the queues that postfix uses. And for each item in my variables, I put in the length of the number of items in my directory. So the glob is actually here with an asterisk, a star. And this will give me for every instance, well, if I scroll a little bit, you can see that I use my item, my queue here as well. And so I can count all the files in my queue, and I know exactly for all the 5 queues how many items there are. So this is another example of... So, we have a little bit of time? So, I instantiate dstat, the infrastructure is provided, well, the class provides everything, most of it. And then I have, in this case, only 2 extra functions, and actually, if something like dstat, it can get its counters from different places. One is dopen, which is actually just open, but I don't want to open the same file every time. If I want to CPU counters, it's always the same file I'm opening. So dopen just opens the file, keep the file descriptor for you, and the next time you call it, it opens it again, and it seeks to zero. So it gives you just the opened file descriptor back. It doesn't open it again, but it gives you the file descriptor back, and it keeps the file open, which is nice because you don't have to open and close the file every time. And dpopen is actually to open a pipe to an application, and then you can write commands to it and get results from it and then parse the results. So dpopen is actually the a little bit the same as open, dopen. And then I have also another function. Actually, I forgot to put it there. I have also have a function to read out from dopen and dpopen in a way that it's less expensive, because I parse automatically when I read the lines. I parse if it matches a regular expression. Because sometimes, especially for the InnoDB, the only way I get counters is if I get all the counters, and it's so much information that's slowing down my plugin. So I made a regular expression so that at the heart where I read in the lines, I check for the regular expression, and then I get only that information back. Otherwise, I have to give all that information back from one function to another. And that helped a little bit, but it was good enough. So, known issues with DStat, counter rollovers. VMStat has the same problem, all the tools have the same problem. If you have a 32-bit counter, you only have four billion counters. That means if you have 2 gigabit interfaces bonded together, you would have a counter rollover every 1.6 seconds. I mean, no tool can manage that, because if you're checking every 10 seconds, then it has rolled over 6 times or something. So it's something that you have to be aware of. If your counters are getting or having lots of information, you have to check yourself if the counters can roll over. The only thing that DStat can do is if it's showing differences and it sees a value that is lower than the last time it checked, then it knows it's invalid because it cannot go down, and then I will display that. And in my averages will also, I will show a dash. It means it has overflowed. I know it has overflowed. All the next values from my average don't make any sense. Don't trust this. If you see something like that, you know you have to be very careful. But for the same, it's possible that I don't see it and it's happening. So performance issues. Well, DStat is not optimized for performance. It's optimized for system administrators like me, maybe like you. And that's ironic because it's a performance monitoring tool. I will show you how to debug it, and let me do that quickly. it's very simple, actually. You have a debug option. So for the timer plugin, you have the debug option, and the debug option shows you how long it took to run this plugin. In this case, on my laptop, it takes 0.2 milliseconds to run the timer plugins, which is very nice, but the timer plugin is not doing anything. If you look, this is actually the overhead of DStat itself. You can compare it to that. This is the overhead of DStat itself. Now, if I enable everything,